Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Glenn. I really love that teaching on leprosy and lepers and the leper Messiah and us being necessary for us to be treated as lepers in a sense, being a rejected minority, going outside our camp. Really appreciate that. That was some great teaching. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
My message this morning is going to be a continuation of our series on the parables, and I'm going to be doing three parables from Luke chapter 15 this morning: the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, also known as the prodigal son. The Lord Yeshua is known for teaching in parables. And he taught using parables for several reasons. A parable is a short story that's easy to understand. It's used to explain things that are harder to understand, especially spiritual truths. Parables are interesting, they are easy to remember, and they cause you to think, to reflect, to meditate, to ponder about spiritual truth, which is a very good thing. Messiah taught in parables to make the truth clear to those who were willing to hear, but to make the truth hidden to those who lacked genuine spiritual interest. Now, why would Messiah want to hide truth from those who lacked interest? For the same reasons he told us not to throw our pearls before swine. Truth is a precious thing. Truth should be loved and cherished and respected. Truth should not be treated poorly. Giving too much truth to someone who's not interested in the truth harms that individual. He hears the truth, he rejects it, and he digs himself deeper into a deadly hole. And if he persists in rejecting the truth, since now he knows more of the truth but has rejected it, his punishment will be more severe, since to whom much is given, much is required. So, not giving too much truth to someone who is not genuinely interested is a mercy to that person. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Starting with the first verse, Luke gave us some background to help us understand the three following parables. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Yeshua. In first century Israel, the Romans forced the Jewish people in Israel to pay them taxes. Jewish tax collectors did that work for the Romans, and they were rewarded by the Romans by being allowed to keep some of the tax money for themselves. So those Jewish tax collectors were considered to be ungodly, traitorous collaborators of the despised Roman invaders. They were corrupt men who got rich off the impoverishment of the Jewish people. It's not hard to understand that tax collectors were resented and despised by the rest of the population. Sinners refer to those who did not try to keep the law. They were not religious individuals. They were not God-fearing. They would do sinful things that religious, God-fearing people would not do. Luke informed us that some of the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Yeshua. They were attracted to the wise, miracle-working rabbi. He was so different from all the other rabbis they had ever encountered. They wanted to see Rabbi Yeshua and hear him and be with him. And that was a very good thing. However, some of the religious leaders who were present did not see these tax collectors and sinners gathering around to hear Yeshua to be a good thing. Luke told us, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, I'm sure that these religious leaders thought that welcoming sinners and eating with them was an expression of approval, and it was a sharing in their sinfulness. It was a sharing in their evil. A righteous man should avoid sinners. He should not be with them. He should not eat with them. Consider these words from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So, according to Psalm 1, it's right to shun sinners who are intent on engaging in wickedness. However, if sinners are listening, if they are open, if they are receptive, if the Lord is drawing them to himself, if he is stirring them so that they are wanting to come closer to him, then we don't shun sinners. We do the opposite. We engage with them. If the wicked are influencing us towards wickedness, that's bad. Then we distance ourselves from sinners. However, if they are not influencing us, if instead we're influencing them to come closer to the Lord and right living, then we welcome sinners. We eat with them. We spend time with them. We must not be like judges who are ready to declare a sentence for criminals. Instead, we are to be like Yeshua, who left the glories of heaven on a great search and rescue mission for sinners. We are to continue his great search and rescue mission. So that's the background for the following three parables. To reinforce these truths, Messiah told three parables. Here's the first one, the parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15, starting with verse 3. Then Yeshua told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." A good shepherd is concerned for each one of his sheep. Each sheep is valuable to him. He doesn't want to lose even one sheep. So if one wanders away and is lost, he leaves the others and searches until he finds the one lost missing sheep. He's delighted when he finds it, and he lovingly carries it home on his shoulders. He is so happy to have found his lost sheep that he calls his friends and neighbors and shares the good news with them so that they can share in his happiness. This is easy to understand. Now for the truths which are harder to understand. Yeshua continued, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The lost sheep is the sinner. He's not interested in obeying God. He is not interested in serving the Lord. He wants what he wants, not what God wants. He's far from God. He is lost. He is headed towards destruction. He's headed towards death, not eternal life. However, he's made in the image of God, and therefore he is exceedingly precious. His greatest need is to repent, to turn away from his sins, and turn to God and God's right ways. The 99 sheep that are not lost are the righteous who have already turned to God and are doing the right things. They don't need to repent. They're right with God. The Lord is happy with them. However, there is a special happiness in heaven when one lost sinner who is exceedingly precious repents. That is such a terrific thing. It makes God very happy. We are to be like the good shepherd who is concerned about the one lost sheep. We are not to despise a sinner and reject him. Instead, we are to love him enough to seek him, to go after him. We go to him and tell him the truth. We proclaim the gospel, which alone can save him. We tell him to repent, to turn to God, and believe the good news, and live in a way that pleases God. If he is responsive to what we are saying, if he's listening, if he's learning, if he's considering, and if in this process we spend time with him and talk to him and eat with him, well and good. Isn't that how God treated us when we were sinners? That's the first parable, the parable of the lost sheep. The second parable, the parable of the lost coin, starting with verse 8. Yeshua continued with this parable. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. That's the parable. Silver coins are valuable. Each silver coin is precious. A woman who has 10 coins and loses one is concerned about the one lost coin. She searches carefully until she finds it. When she finds it, she is thrilled. She is so happy to have found her one lost coin that she calls her friends and neighbors together and shares the good news with them so that they can share in her happiness. This is easy to understand. Now for the truths which are harder to understand. Yeshua said, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The lost coin is the sinner. He's made in the image of God. He is very valuable. He needs to repent, however, to turn to God away from his sins. And he needs to turn to God and God's ways. The nine coins, which are not lost, are the righteous. They've already repented. They're already right with God. They're already doing the right things on a consistent basis. God, who has angels in his presence, is happy with them. The angels are happy with them. However, there is a special happiness in heaven when one lost sinner repents. We are to be like the woman who is concerned about the one lost coin. That means that we are not to despise and reject a sinner, but care enough about him to go to him and proclaim the message about the Messiah, which alone can save him. We tell him to repent, to turn to God, to believe the good news, the gospel, and live in a way that is pleasing to God. If he is responsive, if he is open, if he is listening, and if we then spend time with him and talk to him and eat with him, well and good. Isn't that how God related to us when we were sinners? That brings us to the third parable, the lost son, more commonly referred to as the prodigal son. Luke 15, starting with verse 11. And this parable is longer. Yeshua continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.'" He wanted an early inheritance. So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now, if you were a Jewish person who was listening to this parable, that would have shocked you. This would have been a horrible job for a Jewish man to wind up feeding pigs. How low this man had sunk. And the horrible pig feeding job didn't even pay enough to meet the younger son's needs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" The suffering of the younger son helped him realize the errors of his ways. So he humbled himself. He was willing to go back to his father as a servant, not as a son. This shows that the younger son was truly repentant. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is easy to understand. Now for the truths which are harder to understand. The younger son represents lost sinners. The father represents God. The younger son did not appreciate his father, just as lost sinners do not appreciate God. Instead of serving his father, the youngest son demanded an early inheritance. He took the money, moved far away from his father. He squandered his inheritance with sinful living. Lost sinners are far from God, and they are squandering the gift of life God has given them. If they do not turn to God, they will forfeit their life.
They will not live forever.
The sinful living of the lost son resulted in him suffering.
When he suffered enough, he finally came to his senses.
He repented, he turned back toward his father. The father, when he saw his younger son returning, was happy. He was thrilled, he welcomed him, he gave him gifts, he celebrated with a feast.
When lost sinners have usually suffered enough, that's usually what it takes for a sinner to turn to God, and realize life isn't working for them and they're unhappy, and when they turn to God,
God is thrilled, he is delighted, and he will graciously and lovingly welcome them. We are to be like God, gracious, forgiving, welcoming lost sinners, happy that they are returning to God. The older son represents religious people who focus on the lostness of sinners and the sinfulness of sinners, and not their willingness to repent, not their interest in God and getting closer to God. We must not be like that older brother. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for these three parables. which teach us to be like you, Heavenly Father, like your Son, Yeshua, to reach out to the lost, to care for the lost, to be patient, seeing beyond their sinfulness to their hearts, that you are drawing them to yourself, that you are revealing truth, that you are revealing the gospel, the message of salvation. Lord, help us to be attuned and aware of what you are doing in people around us. And help us to be your instruments to seek them out and to search for them and to point them to you and to the truth. Help us not be like the older brother who's focused on sinfulness and lostness. Help us to be like the father in this parable, eager to see people being drawn to you and delight.